Greetings, everyone. Beginning our time together today, skillfully, auspiciously, honoring what is worthy of honor. The Buddha used the word puja, which means to honor what is worthy of honor. In his teaching on blessings, the Mangala Sutta, he said, puja cha pujaniyanam eta mangalamuttamam. When we honor what is worthy of honor, there's limitless blessing. So by honoring the Triple Jewel, honoring the awakened ones, compassion, joy, and equanimity, we plug into that which is limitless, and there's limitless blessing. So beginning as we have been at the top of page 3, honoring the Buddha, with a Namo Tassa Bhagavato chant, and then chanting the qualities of the Triple Jewel on the next page, page 4.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa Sambuddhassa. Homage to the blessed, noble, and perfectly enlightened one. Homage to the blessed, noble, and perfectly enlightened one. Homage to the blessed, noble,
collection of the Triple Jewel, the next page, page 4.
Ittipiso bhagava halaham samma sambuddha vija chalana samban sugato loka vidu anuttalo ampulissa dhamma sa Sata deva mando sana bhuta bhakavati sava kato bhakavata tam santi tiko akaliko hehi paziko panayiko bhajata vedita bo. When you hear this patipanda bhagavato savaka sangha uju patipanda bhagavato savaka sangha nyaya patipanda bhagavato savaka sangha samiji patipanda Savaka Sangha Yatitang Chathari Purisa Yugani Yatta Purisa Purtalahe Sambhaka Vato
Savaka Sangha
Ahunayo Pahunayo Daginayo Anjali Kalani Yagedaloka
Buddha's Teachings on Highest Blessings, pages 5 and 6. Now let us chant the Buddha's teaching on highest blessing. That the Blessed One was staying at Savatthi, residing at the Jetta's Grove in Anathapindaka's Park. Then in the dark of the night, a radiant deva illuminated all Jetta's Grove. She bowed down low before the Blessed One. Then standing to one side, she said, "Devas are concerned for happiness and never long for peace. The same is true for humankind. What then are the highest blessings? Avoiding those of foolish ways, associating with the wise, and honoring those worthy of honor. These are the highest blessings, living in places of suitable kinds, with the fruits of past good deeds, and guided by the rightful way. These are the highest blessings, accomplished in learning and craftsman skills, with discipline highly trained, and speech that is true and pleasant to hear. These are the highest blessings, providing for mother and father support, and cherishing family, and ways of work that harm no being. These are the highest blessings. Giving with Dhamma in the heart, offering help to relatives and kin, and acting in ways that leave no blame. These are the highest blessings. Steadfast in restraint and shunning evil ways, avoiding intoxicants that dull the mind, and mindfulness in all things that arise. These are the highest blessings. Respectfulness and of humble ways, contentment and gratitude, and hearing the Dhamma frequently taught. These are the highest blessings. Patience and willingness to accept one's faults, seeing venerated seekers of the truth, and sharing often the words of Dhamma. These are the highest blessings. The holy life lived with ardent effort, seeing for oneself the noble truths and the realization of Nirvana. These are the highest blessings. Although involved in worldly ways, unshaken the mind remains, and beyond all sorrow, spotless, secure. These are the highest blessings. They who live by following this path, no victory wherever they go, and every place for them is safe. These are the highest blessings. Then on page 8, a chant we haven't done before. The four boundless qualities to shine forth. These are the Brahmaviharas, the noble abidings that the Buddha encouraged his disciples to cultivate, sometimes called the divine abidings of kindness, metta, compassion, karuna, joy, mudita, serenity, equanimity, upeka. And he encouraged cultivating these qualities, which are the natural qualities when the heart is undistorted by greed, hatred, and delusion. They're natural. They happen naturally when our heart lets go of affliction, but we can also cultivate them, remind the heart of this beautiful abiding, non-fighting, welcoming, friendliness, which is kindness, sensitivity to suffering, wishing to alleviate suffering, which is compassion, joy, rejoicing in beauty, goodness, mudita, and equanimity, serenity, peace with the ups and downs, the comings and goings, the pleasures and pains. Upeka. Now let us make the four balanced qualities shine forth. Now let us make the four boundless qualities shine forth.
I will abide.
Pervading one quarter with a heart imbued with loving kindness. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth. So above and below, around and everywhere. And to all as to myself, I will abide, pervading the all-encompassing world, with a heart imbued with loving kindness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. I will abide, pervading one quarter, with a heart imbued with compassion. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth. So above and below, around and everywhere, and to all as to myself. I will abide, pervading the all-encompassing world, with a heart imbued with compassion, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. I will abide, pervading one quarter, with a heart imbued with gladness, likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth. So above and below, around and everywhere, and to all as to myself. I will abide, pervading the all-encompassing world, with a heart imbued
with gladness,
abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. I will abide, pervading one quarter, with a heart imbued with equanimity. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth. So above and below, around and everywhere, and to all as to myself. I will abide, pervading the all-encompassing world, with a heart imbued with equanimity, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. And another chant that we haven't done yet on page 13. There's two mantras, which are part of the Sharangama mantra. Remember when it's a long mantra, maybe four times longer than the Great Compassion mantra. The longest mantra in Buddhism. But it's how the Buddha rescued Ananda. And it's the mantra, remember that out of that whole scenario, all these awakened ones talked about their pathway to awakening, and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva talked about returning the hearing, listening combined with reflection, so that the heart could return to its nature, the indestructible. That's what Sharangama means, the indestructible abiding. So that mantra calls on all the protective forces in all the directions and helps living beings return to the great center. What's that great center? That essence, that heartwood that's always here inviting us. But when we're grasping at the branches, the objects of the mind, we lose touch. So these two, the bottom of the page, the heart of the Sharangama mantra, which is a bit longer, is at the end of the mantra. It's very powerful. But the one I want to do today is the five great mantra hearts. This was the section of the longer mantra, which as was taught to us by Master Hua, that helped undo that kind of spell that had Ananda caught up. We're all in a spell. We're in a spell with our doubts and worries and fears, waking. That's why waking up out of the dream, waking up out of the spell to notice what's always been here. This particular mantra helps us recognize what's what, help us recognize the unwholesome. A lot of beings are believing in what is crazy, being misled by people telling us something's true, which is false. As this mantra is called the five great mantra hearts, because each line is a seed mantra of a great awakened one. We have awakened ones within and around us. We're surrounded by goodness. Yes, there's delusion too, but we don't notice what's helping us. The first line is from Medicine Master, the great awakened one of the East. Medicine Master of the East, Ratnasambhava of the South, Amitabha of the West, Amoghasiddhi of the North, and Sakyamuni Buddha of the Center. The great, I'm not sure which line is which, but Master Hua taught us that these were all the seed syllables of the awakened ones. As we chant it, Tanisra will accompany us with the drum. Each syllable takes account. And as the sounds move and we just let them keep dissolving and emptying the heart, it's easy to learn. Once we learn it, then one can get a feeling of the mantra like a wheel turning, breaking up all the spells, all the fixed views, the opinions, and helping us remember and rest in that which is still, unmoving, the listening, the awareness. So first, just to get a feeling for the pronunciation, Chitoni.
Chitoni.
Ajala.
Ajala.
Mi li ju.
Mi li ju.
Boli dan la ye.
Boli dan la ye.
Ning je li.
Ning je li.
Chitoni.
Chitoni.
Ajala.
Ajala.
Mi li ju.
Mi li ju.
Boli dan la ye.
Boli dan la ye.
Ning je li.
Ning je li.
We'll just say it. Chitoni ajala mili ju boli dan lae ning jeli. Now we'll chant it, letting the sounds, just trusting and letting the sounds do their things. They allow us, we're aligning with what countless disciples have chanted over the centuries, letting ourselves rest in awareness. Remember, return to the center and just allowing the mantra to help protect the good, the true, the sacred, waking beings up out of the spell of confusion. Chitoni anjala mili jubali danlai ningjeli 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 chitoni anjala mili jubali danlai. The Heart Sutra on page 11. The Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutra.
When Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara was practicing the profound Prajna Paramita, she illuminated the five skandhas
and saw that they are all empty.
And she crossed beyond all suffering and difficulty. Shaliputra, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Form itself is emptiness. Emptiness itself is form. So to our feeling, cognition, formation,
and consciousness.
Shaliputra, all dharmas are empty of characteristics.
They are not produced,
not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor diminish. Therefore, in emptiness, there is no form, feeling, cognition, formation, or consciousness. No eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, or mind. No sight, sound, smells, taste, objects of touch, or dharmas. No field of the eyes, up to and including no field of mind consciousness. And no ignorance or ending of ignorance. Up to and including no old age and death or ending of old age and death. There is no suffering, no accumulating, no extinction, and no way, and no understanding, and no attaining. Because nothing is attained, the Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajna Paramita, is unimpeded in her mind. Because there is no impediment, she is not afraid, and she leaves distorted dream thinking far behind. Ultimately Nirvana, all Buddhas of the three periods of time attain Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi through reliance on Prajna Paramita. Therefore know that Prajna Paramita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequaled mantra. It can remove all suffering. It is genuine and not false. That is why the mantra of Prajna Paramita was spoken, recited like this. Gate, gate, pala gate, pala sangate, bodhiswa.
The Great Compassion Mantra, page 12.
Mm-hmm.
Page 3, the mantra page, invoking Kuan Yin with a slightly different mantra, different melody. Namo Kuan Shi Yin Pusa, calling on the compassionate one who listens at ease to the sounds of the world. Taking just a couple of minutes to stretch, and then we'll have a meditation. Finding our posture. Receiving the body and the sensations and the sounds. Into the heart. Remembering all phenomenon is arising within this awareness. Namo Kuan Shi Yin Pusa. Honoring, returning our life to that which listens, that centrality that receives everything, all sensations, all sounds. That awakened core. Invoking that quality of friendliness,
That's what opens up the immeasurable abiding, the divine abiding. The limited abiding is when we try to push this away, push that away. That's narrow, hemmed in. The one who listens at ease to the sounds of the world, the kind and compassionate ones, not caught up in pushing things away. Welcoming into the heart, because each thing vibrates and dissolves. Each thing is essentially empty of substantiality. Everything keeps transmuting into the heart. The friendly heart, welcoming the sounds, the sensations, combining them with a breath, letting the friendly heart mingle the sensations at this moment with an in-breath and an out-breath. That longer, quiet in-breath, the friendly heart just receives and appreciates the blessing of breathing in, the blessing of breathing out. If one wishes, one can inwardly, quietly say, Kwan Shir as one breathes in, Yin as one breathes out. Or Bud as one breathes in, To as one breathes out. Those words vibrate and dissolve, but they remind us to be patient, to trust in this listening, to be kind and friendly. The kind heart blesses as we breathe in, Bud, To. Breathing in friendliness, kindness, wakefulness. Blessing every cell in the body, breathing out calm and soothing. Every cell. Letting the alchemy of friendliness, the kind heart, touch and bless the sensations and sounds and suchness of this moment. Quiet thought of may I be well as we breathe in. May I be well as we breathe out, allowing that kindness just to bless, that we may be at ease with how it is. May we be well with this moment. Calm, content, breathing in. May I be well. Breathing out. May there be wellness with this as it is. Breathing in and out, noticing this area of the heart, the chest, upper back, with kindness, just whatever those sensations are, can we be friendly with them, allow them to be, rather than having to fight them. On an out-breath, allowing a wave, a ripple, an extension of kindness to flow from our heart forward, infinitely into space before us. That whole quarter of the world, with each in-breath kindness, each out-breath relaxing and allowing the energy of kindness to bless all that is before us, the space, the forms, without straining, like a light shines without trying. So too on the out-breath, allow kindness to shine. The heart shines, blessing all that is before us infinitely out into space. With that sense of this body and that whole quarter of the world before us, however that is sensed, we're just kind with it, not fighting those sensations or any thoughts that come up. We let them be. Letting that effort subside as we notice just the body breathing, that heart area. Savoring that in-breath, relaxing on the out-breath. And then on an out-breath, sensing the space to our right. On an out-breath, letting a wave of kindness emanate, extend from our body to the right. Our right, blessing all that is to our right, all the forms, the space, plants, trees, animals, beings seen and unseen to the right. Each out-breath, subtly relaxing and allowing the kindness to be sustained like a light shining, illumining the whole quarter of the world to our right with the blessing of kindness. Letting that effort subside. Just being with the breathing, this body, savoring that in-breath to the heart area, chest area. Breathing out, allowing it to bless and suffuse to the rest of our body. Breathing in full, breathing out, relaxing. Then on an out-breath, sensing the space behind us, however we sense it, as we breathe in and then breathing out, extending a wave of friendliness, kindness behind us, from our body behind, infinitely, blessing that whole quarter of the world behind us with kindness. However we sense the space, the heart shines and blesses all that is behind us. Whatever the sensation, not fighting, willing to be with. Don't need to get caught in many thoughts. Just let our Buddho or Kuan Yin, Quan Chi Yin. Touch the heart, dissolve, and remind the heart just to be kind, awake. Blessing all that is behind us. Letting that gesture, inner gesture, effort subside. Being with the body, breathing, kindness, friendliness. With these sensations, savoring that in-breath that brings life force into the body. Kindly on the out-breath, relaxing and allowing it to bless the body. Then on an out-breath, sensing that space to our left. The left side of the body, the space to our left. On an out-breath, relaxing and continuing to extend. A wave, a radiation of kindness, friendliness, blessing to the left. Suffusing, penetrating, permeating. Healing all that is to our left. In-breath touches the heart, the out-breath continues to open that channel of relaxing, allowing the blessing of kindness to flow, extend, shine, radiate. To the left, blessing that whole quarter of the world. Allowing that effort, inner gesture to subside. Breathing in and out, kindly, benevolently being with this body. Breathing, savoring the life force of the in-breath. Letting it bless our body on the out-breath. On an out-breath, sensing the space above us. Crown of our head, shoulders, breathing in, breathing out. Extending, letting the heart open to that which is above. Ceiling, roofs, clouds, sky, planets, all that is above us, space. However we sense it, each out-breath relaxing and allowing that. Heart to suffuse all that is above with benevolence. Non-harming, non-fighting, kindliness. This heart is luminous. It shines, just relaxing and allowing the innately friendly, benevolent heart to shine upwards, blessing all that is above. With benevolence. Allowing that inner gesture, effort to subside. As we stay with this body, enveloping it with kindness, breathing in, savoring the life-giving breath, breathing out, relaxing. As it blesses all the cells and channels and tissues, spaces of this body-mind. On an out-breath, letting go and sensing the space beneath us. Each out-breath relaxing and extending benevolence, kindness, appreciation to Mother Earth. All that is below us, down through the earth into space. May Mother Earth and beyond be blessed by loving kindness. Each out-breath, relaxing, allowing this heart to extend a wave of kindness down. Letting that inner gesture subside. Just returning to the simplicity of this body, enveloping it, welcoming it with kindness. May I be well with this, breathing in and out. And relaxing, each out-breath, Namo, giving back, Namo Kuan Chi Yin Pu Sa, Namo Buddhaya, letting go, relaxing, allowing kindness to go above, below, and all around. Breathing out, may all that is out be well. Each in-breath is a blessing of kindness in the inner world, kindness the outer world. We're surrounded by infinite space. And this heart of presence is limitless. So using our phrase or word just to remind us to relax and trust this awareness. And as we let go, it shines healing, blessing, kindness above, below, and all around. The inner world blessed on the in-breath, the outer world blessed, inner, outer, merged, not two. The divine abiding, measureless abiding of kindness. The abiding is the measureless, benevolent heart. Whatever comes into the heart, whatever guests, sounds, sensations, images, memories, thoughts, moods, appear, we welcome them into this Brahma-vihara, this divine abiding, cultivating, allowing, welcoming, being well with, that blesses whatever appears within the heart. Especially anything that we struggle with. Practicing kindness rather than struggling and then empowering it more as other. Letting it be. We're not saying we like everything. But as a guest in our divine abiding, it's allowed. And it then will reveal. It can run its course, changing, shifting back into emptiness. Into listening. Into luminous knowingness of the nature, the true nature. Each out-breath, letting go of clinging, because all the objects of the heart are not truly objects. They appear to be objects because of our thought, but they're part of this one substance. So we keep relaxing, giving back, namo, returning our life on the out-breath. Resting back into this timeless listening, the heart of the Buddha, the heart of Kuan Yin, where all things and all beings merge. As the Buddha said, Amato Gada Sabbe Dhamma. Each out breath, releasing, and in that relaxing, it allows our inner luminosity to shine above, below, and all around. As we let be and let go, we're blessing. All things, all beings with the innate, measureless kindness, compassion, joyful radiance, and peace of the heart. within this abiding, this measureless abiding, noticing all phenomena, the sounds, the swelling and subsiding of the breathing, the sensations are changing, flickering like countless stars in a deep night sky. The vibration of sound and sensation and thoughts moving does not disturb the stillness. All the forms are empty of solidity, and the emptiness manifests as form, form and emptiness, perfectly merged, not two. Our inner world touches the heart and then, like a bubble, pops. Bud, to. The bubble appears and then pop. The form is there and then it's gone. The knowing, the listening, the heart itself is undisturbed. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. Form itself is emptiness. Emptiness itself is form. So too are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. Namo, letting go, resting in the measureless. Wishing may all beings be at ease. May all beings be well. May all beings be free from all suffering. We'll take a 15. Welcome back. We're going to be offering in the later session today Kuan Yin compassion ceremony. We offer this because it has been very helpful, efficacious in our own lives. I've been doing the ceremony regularly for 30 years. And I've been chanting the Great Compassion Mantra and holding Kuan Yin's name for 40 years. So 40 years ago, I alluded to it earlier, I was a monk and I was very ill. I had gone off to Thailand in 1976 to ordain, so inspired to hear about Ajahn Chah. I didn't know I was going to ordain, but I was so inspired to go meet the great meditation master. I arrogantly thought, because I had done a 10-day meditation retreat and a half, I'd done a whole 10-day retreat and another half a retreat. And even though, yes, I admit it was hell those first few days, but I experienced some beautiful states on day 3 or 4. I mean, my mind was mad. I was a student at Oxford at the time, and I spent a life aiming for the next thing, the next tournament, the next exam, the next problem. And so those first few days of meditation, it was just, later I know, Ajahn Chah says, "You think it's easy to sit in meditation?" Well, he said, it's like walking into a hurricane. Well, that's what it felt like. It just, the mind was going everywhere. But on day, I was taught mindfulness of the breathing on this very first retreat that I did. Being with the sensations of the body. And on day 3 or 4, I just had a moment in between sessions of just standing outside by a bush in the morning, but just the dewdrops, the stillness, the beingness. I was peaceful. I wasn't aiming to win something, to succeed at something, to get somewhere. I was being. That was so delicious. And being at the end of that, then when I heard about this master in Thailand, then I thought, well, if I could do that in a 10-day period, 3 10-day periods in a month, 12 months in a year, I should be able to blow the roof off this enlightenment thing. First year, because I was trying to be humble, I thought, I'll give myself 2 years. So I went off to Thailand and met Ajahn Chah, and I loved the life. But I realized that was so arrogant, just getting somewhere. But one of my big teachers was an illness. Somewhere in my second year there, I got typhoid fever in the forest, almost died. I was really sick. And then for years after it, actually 10 years after it, quite ill. But in the early years of my illness, I had already then been invited to help be a part of and start monasteries back in England in the Ajahn Chah Thai forest tradition with Ajahn Sumedho and other monks and nuns. I so loved the monastic life of meditation. It was like being in a tribe that we were joining together to battle the forces of delusion, to uncover the treasures of the heart, rediscover the blessings of our true nature. But being ill and having to lie down all the time, I was really frustrated and in chronic pain and internal bleeding and all this damage from the typhoid. But I heard, or actually read, and one of the newsletters that came to our monastery was from this Chinese master, Master Xunhua. He talked about Kuan Yin and the Great Compassion Mantra. He said, if you're sincere, you really practice this mantra, practice calling on the Bodhisattva of compassion, there is no illness or circumstance that Kuan Yin can't help you with. And I didn't consider myself very smart, but I've always felt like, Kitty Sorrow, I can work hard. And even though I was laid up, I still had some determination. So I didn't even know how to chant this mantra and it, all these syllables. But I started. I started chanting, lying down when I could sit up. And then even after doing it a few years, it's funny how the karmic synchronicities happen. I was doing this, and then disciples from Master Hua visited our monastery. And I got permission from my teacher, Ajahn Sumedho, look, I want to ask them about their practices because I think that can help me get well. It was all about wanting to get well. Ajahn Sumedho said, yes, you can talk to them about their practice. And I said, well, I've been chanting the Great Compassion Mantra, and one of the senior Western disciples of the master, Chinese master, Master Xunhua, said, well, his name was Hung Shu. He said, let's hear it. And so I chanted it, and he said, you can see him biting his lips slightly. He wanted to say something nice. Well, there was a lot of vigor and enthusiasm there, but I had no idea how to chant it. The mantra should be chanted like flowing water. Each syllable gets a count. So he showed me how to do it. And so then I started. Then over time, gradually, I started to feel a response. The Bodhisattva compassion, the force of compassion is real. The refuge, taking refuge in Buddha, the qualities of here and now, ever-present qualities of wisdom and compassion are truly here and now always. I started to feel a response. Then over time, I gradually learned more about this Bodhisattva of compassion through Master Hua and his teachings and his disciples. And seeing how these teachings from the so-called Mahayana great vehicle tradition, it says Mahayana, Maha, because the Bodhisattva is not only Bodhi means awakening, committed to awakening, but the Bodhisattva is committed to everyone awakening. And that's where Maha comes from. It's saying everyone. It's measureless. But there's measureless qualities in the Theravada too, of course. Like what we just practiced. Classical Theravada from the Pali scriptures. Teachings around kindness. Cultivating kindness for all. That takes you to a Maha, a great place. I started reflecting how the teachings from the two traditions inform one another, bless one another, support one another. So Master Hua helped me get a feeling for this Bodhisattva, this awakened being dedicated to awakening all beings. We ourselves, as we start to practice mindfulness and then seeing what comes and goes and seeing that all forms and sounds are vibrating and empty, we start touching into, as this attention starts to notice the heart itself, we start to realize, wow, our nature is also sky-like and measureless. We contract and imagine that we're just this and that. We then lose touch with our true nature. As Master Hua says, we grasp at the branches and forsake the root. We lose the sacred core. But as we return to the root, like in the Mula Sutta, there's one root, the root of suffering when we, through desire, grasp at externals. When we honor the externals and see their true nature, we realize they keep dissolving and they're not totally external. They're appearing and dissolving within this one heart. So the great return begins to happen. We start to realize we're not actually going somewhere else. We're starting to, and realizing the endless nature of grasping at success and pleasure and things being this way. Because every circumstance, just like this moment right now, keeps melting and melting and emptying of its solidity. So that leads to a dispassion that takes us back to our measureless heart. And if we, in our limited cultivation, can start to touch into the measureless dimension of our being, yes, then it's much easier to accept, wow, truly wise and compassionate beings that are empty are able to manifest all forms for the sake of helping others. I then, through studying with Master Xunhua, eventually I was able to meet him. And as I said, his disciples visited our monastery, and then we visited their monastery. And there was this relationship between our teacher and Master Hua and his disciples. Started to get more of a feeling of this Kuan Yin. We already mentioned how in the Sharangama Sutra, Kuan Yin's meditation method figures prominently as the returning the hearing, to listen into the true nature. To touch in the unshakable, indestructible heart. But also, and you have one little short extract from it, but in the text that we handed out on page 10 of the text, there's a little clip from it. It's called The Universal Door of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. That's from the Lotus Sutra. Chapter 25 of the Lotus Sutra is just about Kuan Yin. And in that particular discourse, chapter 25, that section of the Lotus Sutra, and I've just given you a little excerpt from it. If living beings have much sexual desire, or desire in general, really caught up in desiring, constantly and reverently recite the name of Kuan Shiryin Bodhisattva, they will be separated from desire. If those who have much hatred constantly and reverently recite the name of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, they will be separated from hatred. If those who are very deluded constantly and reverently hold the name of Kuan Shiryin Bodhisattva, they will be separated from delusion. The Buddha praises the great power of this bodhisattva of compassion. And that even holding the name, remembering, honoring the name, that's what we do in our chanting. When we honor what is worthy of honor, we're touching into the limitless, and then it allows us to partake of that blessing, partake of that energy. In that universal door, which is oftentimes recited in Chinese monasteries, and we've done that practice too, where we recite in Chinese the whole chapter. Kuan Yin, it talks about, the Buddha encourages people to remember this, that Kuan Yin, when we invoke Kuan Yin can help us be saved from drowning, from fires, from attack, from wild animals, from incarceration, from being falsely accused, from Kuan Yin has vowed to manifest in the form that can most help someone. So Kuan Yin's vow is to help living beings be freed from suffering. So that was my first connection with Kuan Yin, was about more the merciful side, that when Master Hua said, Kuan Yin can help you get well. That's what I wanted something. Well, that's part of Kuan Yin's strategy. I didn't know that at the time, was to help living beings fulfill their wholesome vows, but then later to bring them back home to the true nature, to the treasure trove of blessings in the heart. So the Lotus Sutra and the it's called the universal door because anybody can go through it. It's not a complicated door to hold the name of Kuan Yin or hold the name of the Buddha. That's what one is doing in Thailand when we were one of the main meditation practices in Thailand was just to hold the name Buddha, Buddha as you breathe in, To as you breathe out. And you're walking, Buddha, just a quiet inner sound. It's holding the name of the Buddha to remind you to be awake. One of my favorite practices is holding the name of Kuan Yin. In whatever I'm doing, quietly, Namo Kuan Chi Yin Pusa. It's that second mantra. Namo, I give my life to the one who listens at ease to the sounds of the world. If I'm meditating, it might even just get shorter and quieter, just like Kuan on the in-breath, Yin on the out-breath. But because I have had a lot of anxiety and still do, but Kuan Yin has helped me so much with it. In one's daily life, holding a mantra, especially if one holds it lightly, it just keeps reminding one to relax and trust the listening. So it's a different way of working with problems. One way of working with problems, and I've certainly tried that, think it out. Should I do this? Should I do that? And that has a place. But sometimes we think, and that was part of my overemphasis on anticipation. So I was always worried about the future. Another way is to invoke the one who listens at ease to the sounds of the world, Namo, Kuan Chi, and Pusa, and then rest back into the listening. Let the heart be open. So it's a whole other way of addressing problems. It's learning to trust that the heart itself has an impact. The deep listening has an impact. And actually, Kuan Yin's great powers come from that depth and mystery of listening where the object and the subject merge. They're not two. The form is empty. The empty is form. Language might tell you, the bubble's there. It's there. As a bubble appears and the mind said, there it is. I see it. It is. It pops. Pop. It's not. The bubble appears. It is. Pop. It's not. It is. It isn't. It is. It isn't. Behind that is, isn't, is the unmoving, ever-present, indestructible heart of listening. I started with the holding Kuan Yin's name and chanting the Great Compassion Mantra. And the Great Compassion Mantra comes in another sutra called the Dharani Sutra, which is not known very much, but Master Hua taught it about the incredible powers of the Great Compassion Mantra, which is hard to learn. But I worked on it and I learned it. And then as you chant it, and let the sounds move and flow. And keep learning to trust back into that listening. Kuan Yin promises to help with illnesses, dangers, calling in protectors. Help disable the malevolent energies. So I've been chanting it every day, minimum 5 times in the morning. And I try, and I rarely miss, 5 times in the evening. Every day for 40 years. And it's the power of learning something. And if you can't do the long mantra, even just the name, one's making a link with this energy, this force, this presence, this of the awakened one. And it's allowing us more to trust in the heart rather than keep only grasping at the leaves and twigs and branches. Then from the Heart Sutra, of course, we see this Kuan Yin's deep wisdom nature, that all this merciful power comes from that depth. Listening, that wisdom that realizes every sound and sight is not actually an it, a thing. There are no things in wisdom. Every so-called thing keeps dissolving. Concepts come in and say, it's an it, it's a me, it's a you. And then when we, that's what papancha is, when we concretize that and then lean on that, that's birth. Then because things change, because there are no things, things are just becoming otherwise, then that's time and death. We create time and death. As one lets go of thing-making. That's what sankhara means. It's the karma of continually creating something. As we start to bow to change, relax into change, we start touching into the change list that's always here. Where all things merge. The mystery. There's a principle in the Theravada scriptures, called the simile of the salt crystal that the Buddha teaches. He taught that if the way you make karma, you have to experience karma that way. There's no ending of suffering. Like if you, in a moment of irritation and anger, do something unskillful, you angry and dog's bothering you, kick a dog, get out of here. That's the way you make karma. Then if that means you have to then get kicked back, you have to experience being kicked, that it's just an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It is just that. The Buddha said there's no end because the karma we created through countless lives is endless. If it has to come back exactly like it was created, there's no end. But the Buddha said if the way that karma is made to be felt, the way karma is felt, so when we, in our unskillful moment, kicked another being, pushed them, shoved them, that caused pain. That means that the way the law of cause and effect and karma unfolds, there has to be some sort of painful response. The Buddha said, well, if you say it like that, yes, there's an end of suffering. And he said, but if someone is not developed in body, they don't contemplate body, they have no virtue, meaning they don't care about impact on anybody else. It's all just about me. They have no mindfulness. very little mindfulness. They go around small-hearted. What does small-hearted mean? What, my little world? Living with dukkha. The Buddha said when there's that kind of thing, when we do something unskillful, that can take us to a really painful place, a hellish state. But he said if someone contemplates body, develops the mind, mindfulness, wisdom, cultivates large-heartedness, dwelling with the unlimited, larger states of mind, then when there's a slightly unwholesome thing, the result manifests, but barely for a moment, he said. It's unpleasant, but just for a moment. And he said it's like if you had a lump of small salt, or a salt crystal, but a big lump of salt in a small amount of water, and it dissolved, the Buddha said, becomes very salty. He said, it's not fit to drink. You can't really drink it. It would be toxic to have that concentrate. It's hard to drink. But he said, if you took that same lump of salt and he said, put it in the Ganges. At that time, the Ganges was pure. But let's say one put the lump of salt in a flowing, fresh stream, river. Then he said, you couldn't even hardly taste it, because it will have dissolved. He said, that's also the way karma works. So when one, have you ever noticed that if you're in a difficult mood, that's a small state. Worry. I can know this about worry. What if this, what if that? I'm not sure. And then sometimes if you just then remember Kuan Yin or the Buddha or a chant or a dedicating this state, a lot of people must be in worry. May my benefit from this state help everyone else who's in the worried state. Suddenly the mind opens up and acknowledges our context. The state shifts. Or it doesn't have the same power. So there's this notion of cultivating blessings. Remember when the retreat started that there was the going for refuge is the stream of blessing. And that the precepts, virtue, when you think of I'm committed to not harming, then all the countless beings around one breathe easier. Notice how that widens us. It helps us remember we're part of a fabric, a context. And that's why the Buddha could say when we honor what is worthy of honor, when we do our chants and recitations, we're plugging into the limitless. That then allows the toxicity of our afflictions, our karmic afflictions, to be dissolved more. That's why they're so powerful, cultivating blessings. Yes, cultivate wisdom, the wisdom of seeing change and not self and emptiness. But the cultivating blessings makes it easier to see the true nature. Because when we don't cultivate blessings, sometimes we just find ourselves in a hellish state where it's hard to contemplate at all. When there's so much pain, so much confusion, sometimes it's difficult. That's why holding Kuan Yin's name, holding the Buddha's name, doing our recitation. This is why in monastic life it's so powerful, so that you have some part of your day where you're just plugging into the measureless. That's why in daily life, there's no practice that's been more helpful to me than holding these mantras, these names of the Buddha and the awakened ones, to help me remember and stay connected to the measureless. In this ceremony, I once asked Master why I was so ill and if there's any way to deal with it. And he wrote back and said, if you really work on repentance and reform, now that's a heavy word in our language, repentance, he directed me to this ceremony. But it's an important principle. The problem with repentance is associated with this notion of you are guilty, you're condemned. The principle that's important is conscience or remorse, the sense of, ooh, that didn't feel right. Part of us that senses when that wasn't right, that's skillful. The Buddha said that's a guardian of the world. To feel that and then reform means to dedicate, I'm going to learn from that. I'm going to dedicate any blessings from my life to make amends to whoever I've harmed. Conscience and aspiration. That's what's at the essence of this ceremony, this Kuan Yin compassion ceremony, which is around Kuan Yin and the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and reflecting on all that we've ever done to harm ourselves or anyone else, and not even just us, for our family, our community, our country, our world. That no question is so afflicted with violence, harm, deception, lying, being caught in addictive stuff, racist stuff, oppressive stuff, and being oblivious to it, losing touch with right and wrong. So a whole part of this ceremony with the bowing and stuff is we're cultivating blessings. When one does a bow, you take your body, your speech, and the awareness and offer it into the wise ones, the Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, just to cultivate blessings. And then within this ceremony, there's a lot of wise reflection in every bow, you'll see there's a refrain. So as this ceremony starts, on page 2 of the ceremony, we first just honor Kuan Yin's name. Namo Dabe Kuan Yin Pusa. And then we often, our dear friend from monastic life, she was Abhasara then, Sister Abhasara, the radiant one. Now she's Melzeki. But she helped put our ceremony to music. And so in this, it would have been hard to do it over Zoom like this without. So we have a pre-recorded us doing the ceremony. You, in live time, you'll see us here doing the bowing and being in the ceremony with you. But we have a recorded audio recording to help us hold the melody. So we bow to the everlasting triple jewel, and then there will be the leader. There will be lines where it says the leader recites, and we'll hear things that we chant together. With one mind, I bow to the everlasting triple jewel of the 10 directions. That's your bowing to the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, the 3 directions. And then we'll hear a line. All in this assembly with incense and flowers make offerings to adorn the Dharma realm. We can just, at the beginning of the ceremony, you'll see me, I'll offer incense on behalf of all of us, depending on how your space is. Whether you can offer an incense or not, just see, you don't have to. Sometimes they're so strong, they're not very nice. But at this point, we can also just do that in our mind. I won't be holding flowers. And so then as we bow, then it's honor how your body is. For some, doing the bow that we've been doing, you can do. But if others, if you have a headache or your body is telling you you can't really do that safely, one can just bow partway. One can just sense what is right for oneself. But we're using the body and the speech and the mind, and we're joining together with an ancient ceremony, though we've edited it through negotiation and working together with the disciples of Master Hua to modernize it. All the essence of the ceremony is still there, but putting things into English is a work in progress. And so we've worked with them on this ceremony. And so we'll be the next passage while we're bowing is we're making offerings in the mind, the offering of our life to all the different directions. Then in the middle of that page two of the ceremony, it says, recite together, Namo, the former Buddha, light of Dharma. Kuan Yin is called a bodhisattva, but the Master Hua says she hides the great to manifest the small. She doesn't have to be known as a Buddha, but she is a Buddha. She's fully awake, but Kuan Yin's delight is to help living beings. So Kuan Yin used to be a Buddha called Light of Dharma, now known as Quan Chi and Bodhisattva, perfect and miraculous merit, completing great compassion, who in a single body and mind manifests a thousand hands and a thousand eyes, and who illumines and looks upon the Dharma realm, and protects and upholds living beings and causes them to bring forth the great mind of the way. The great mind of the way is the mind that can recognize this path home to our true nature. That's the way home. Who teaches the perfect spiritual mantra, that's this long, great compassion mantra that came from original Sanskrit, but then over the centuries, as it was transliterated, the syllables shifted a bit. But in that supplemental material of the meaning of the mantra, Master Hua takes the meaning of the phrases back to the original Sanskrit. But he said the real secret meaning of the mantra is when we do it, the response is when we make it a patient practice. The secret is what happens in time for us. So he said it's not so important to have meanings. It's more listening to these ancient sacred sounds, trusting in the hearing. And then we open our channel. We allow ourselves to be touched. We're not blocking with our rigid views of, I don't believe that, I don't believe that. Even if one doesn't believe it, if we have the thought, I'm not sure about that, then we hear that doubt and hold that lightly. Okay, a doubt's coming and going. But we can actually block help by just fighting things. As one learns to chant Namo Hala Danandola Yi and relax, we allow ourselves to be open and receive what is around us and within us. The perfect mantra helps us leave the unwholesome path, to be reborn at the time of a Buddha. Obstructive karma and illnesses that bind the body are caused to melt away. No one can exhaust the praises of Kuan Yin's awesome spiritual might. Therefore, with one mind, I return my life in worship. Worship might be a loaded word for some of us, but we're not putting something out there. It's the letting go with reverence. Letting go into that open heart that has everything within it. That's how we understand the word worship. It's reverence. Then there's going to be a whole bunch of bowing. We're first bow to our original teacher, Sakyamuni Buddha, who we get these teachings from. Sakyamuni Buddha introduced in these teachings Kuan Yin and the mantras. And notice in every bow, there's this beautiful Dharma. When we're in the bow quietly, we hear, and then in the tape, you'll hear us, Tanisra and me both, reciting for us. The worshipped and the worshiper are empty and still in nature. The sense of whoever we're bowing to, that's the worshipped, and the worshiper, the sense of me, are empty and still. the response and the way are intertwined inconceivably. The response, what comes from this good karma, the response, and the way means our practice in this moment. There's a response and they're intertwined in a mysterious and conceivable way. We don't worry about it. We just do it. The response and the way are intertwined inconceivably. This way place of mind is like a wish-fulfilling pearl. Sakyamuni Buddha appears before me. And I appear before Sakyamuni, bowing down, I return my life in worship. And one just rests, patient with whatever the sensations are. Then we'll do more and more bowing. Then we bow to Amitabha Buddha. Now, there's a lot one could say about the different Buddhas, Bodhisattvas. But what's important is we're using our body to just bow to wisdom, to compassion. Amitabha Buddha is a teacher of Kuan Yin's. But the Buddha of limitless life and limitless light, who has a close link with this world. But rather than worrying about that, just encouraging one to honor, to bow into using this body, speech. We're just plugging into the measureless good energy of honoring the wise, the compassionate, the generous. Then we'll bow to Medicine Master, another Buddha that Master Waz taught us is close to this world, a Buddha of the East. Amitabha is a Buddha of the West. King of a Thousand Lights Buddha is just a Buddha from ancient times, bowing. Bowing to all the Buddhas of the past. Countless, so just using this body to do something simple, bow, or our half bow, or whatever we can do. In this period, even though I bow a lot and I love bowing, sometimes when I'm doing this, I feel so dizzy, there's some people might say, well, Kittisara, that's just blood pressure. Well, I bow all the time. Doesn't do that. So it might be kind of remember this salt crystal, might be this burning up karma. Who knows? But I encourage you, if you feel a bit funny, just be patient with yourself. Sometimes you can't stand up right then. But don't panic. Just whatever the sensations are, I encourage one in the bow just to be kind with them. We're offering everything. Bowing to all the Buddhas of the 10 directions, bowing to the Dharma jewel. Then we bow to Kuan Yin in the middle of I guess that's page 3. We bow to Kuan Yin. To the greatly kind, greatly compassionate Kuan Shi and Bodhisattva, who with 1,000 hands and 1,000 eyes contemplates at ease the sounds of the world. We bow 3 times to Kuan Yin. And the beautiful contemplation in the bow changes a little. Starts off the same. The worshipped and the worshipper are empty and still in nature. Response in the way you're intertwined inconceivably. This white place of mine is like a wish-fulfilling pearl. The greatly compassionate Bodhisattva manifests in it, and I now manifest before the greatly compassionate one as I seek to dissolve all obstacles. So we're offering ourselves. We can bring everything, all that troubles us, all that troubles the world, offer it. So we seek to dissolve obstacles and then just be patient in that pause in the bow. We're just being patient with ever-changing sensations and feeling tones. Then we bow to the different bodhisattvas. Sunlight and moonlight bodhisattvas are great bodhisattvas who protect the great compassion mantra. And work with Kuan Yin, so says Master Hua. So I just do it in trust. Well, Kittisara, are you bowing to someone that you don't actually know? Yeah. I love bowing. We're bowing to wisdom, to compassion. there's a lot of things that I don't know all about, but trust, just learning to trust in the goodness of bowing to the good. That's what I enjoy doing. Then we bow to a great strength bodhisattva. Great strength is another close associate with Kuan Yin. And great strength in the Sharangama teaching was the one great strength's method for enlightenment was Buddha, mindfulness of the Buddha, holding the name of the Buddha. Great strength, just his whole path is holding the name of Amitabha Buddha, or being with Butto, the Buddha. So we honor great strength. Then we bow to Manjushri of great wisdom, the great senior bodhisattva, mahasattva of wisdom. Erstor is a bodhisattva known who's made incredible vows to, Erstor has vowed not to finish, not to be done until all the hell realms are empty. Erstor's vowed to be last. Erstor says he delights in being last, because he just wants to help everyone. Samantabhadra, we bow to, is known for the 10 great vows of the Bodhisattva Khanda. Maitreya is the future Buddha who's waiting for his time on earth. We bow to Maitreya. We bow to the great disciples of old. We bow to all the saints and sages, whatever the tradition. We bow on behalf of our parents, ancestors, the family of all living beings. We bow on behalf of all the Dharma protectors and spirits and elementals. This takes us to a big place, just using this body and mind to honor. Then from the Dharani Sutra, we're going to be reciting Kuan Yin's vows. Namo, greatly compassionate Kuan Yin, I vow that I will quickly know all dharmas. Now you might think, Kittisar, that sounds so greedy. Quickly. Well, look, if you want to say, I vow I will slowly know, one can substitute any word you want. But to me, Kuan Yin is trying to encourage us, don't worry so much. Allow the blessing of the Dharma to help us. So I say quickly, because I'm happy to have help. But you can change the words to what feels right. Kuan Yin is helping us trust. I will soon obtain the wisdom I quickly cross over the sea of suffering, cultivate good skill, cross all living beings over the sea of suffering, attain precepts, samadhi in the way, quickly dwell in the unconditioned. Unconditioned means nibbana, that which is not coming and going. I will soon unite with the Dharma nature body. These are making sounds to deepen our trust and just resting in our nature. I will climb Nirvana Mountain, board the Prajna Wisdom Boat. This is all from the Dharani Sutra. Kuan Yin is encouraging us to say this, and Kuan Yin's vow is to help us do this. If I face the hell's intense pain, hatred, and despair, they will be transformed and disappear. If I face the hungry ghost, loss, anguish, burning need, hunger, and thirst, they will become nourished and full. If I face, encouraging us to trust this heart of kindness, compassion, inner listening, that when we face these obstacles, the power of the heart, the power of the listening, we're partaking of the power that gives Kuan Yin and the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas all their power. These are treasures that are in the heart. This practice is encouraging us little by little to connect with that. If I face the asuras, if I face the animals, then we chant Kuan Yin's name, Amitabha's name, and then we're chanting again Kuan Yin's vows, that beings who hold this mantra, Kuan Yin vows, that we're not going to, against our will, get born in a bad place. If we choose to go there, that's different, but not against our will. Kuan Yin's vow that we will attain samadhi and eloquence. If any living being who recites and holds the spiritual mantra of great compassion should not obtain whatever they seek in this present life, then it cannot be the dharani of the great compassion mind. Kuan Yin vows. This is not just, well, I said it one time and it didn't, I'm quitting. Master Hua said, well, then Kuan Yin's not going to worry about you. Kuan Yin wants people who are dedicated. Then Kuan Yin, there'll be a response. In my sense, why we share this is there is a response. These practices have been so helpful. When I was really, really, really ill, I did this on a long, year-long silent retreat. I did this ceremony every day. I was so ill, I could barely move. But I would just go through it, take a long time, but I felt such a blessing. That's why we share this, that it's been so helpful. And now periodically in our lives, to mark an occasion, to dedicate it to a difficult situation, to a person who's suffering, or to a circumstance that needs attention, this ceremony is so helpful. Then we'll chant the mantra, which is on one of the pages. We'll chant the mantra three times. Don't know which number this is. One, two, three. So the mantra seems to be on page 6. And on page 7, after the mantra, and holding Kuan Yin's name, we do some more bowing where we're, it's just important dharma. Just reflecting on karma. That we just create karma, but don't know how to escape. We just create karma. We just comply with birth and death, not knowing the wonderful dharma. Then it says, now, although I know, I continue along with all living beings to be hindered by all kinds of difficult conditions. And I think in this world, we can agree with all that we're facing in our countries, in ourselves, our countries, our world, with all the different crises. Now before Kuan Yin and the Buddhas of the Ten Directions, for the sake of living beings everywhere, I acknowledge harm I have done. And I return my life making a clear intention to transform my unskillful tendencies, praying there will be protection and that offenses are dissolved. Vowing to transform greed, hatred, and delusion. And then this next, along with all beings, we're doing this with everyone. Realizing because of attachments and views, selfishness, we've all committed countless unwholesome deeds. Therefore, on this day, I have come to trust deeply in cause and effect. And I give birth to a healthy sense of remorse for harm done to self and others and resolve to make amends by seeking the Buddha wisdom. So we abandon the unwholesome tendencies, cultivate the good, and pray that Kuan Yin Bodhisattva will compassionately gather in this offering and receive it. And here, we each can make a little offering to our shrine, to our candle, to our leaf, whatever is our place of practice. Or we can reflect in the break. I encourage one to reflect on what's most challenging, difficult, obstruction. We bring everything to Kuan Yin in the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. We can even write it down on a little piece of paper and offer it. Or someone that our heart is concerned for, that we want to honor, all the beings that are sick and dying. They're afraid of being harmed, discouraged, overwhelmed. We can, whatever we're concerned about, Mother Earth, the harm done to her, the animal kingdom, the beings that are being oppressed, harmed. We can bring that into our offering. And then with the utmost sincerity of mind, and then we say our name, acknowledge harm I have done. This next passage, I won't read it out, but it's this wonderful Dharma. It shows how in this mind of ours, we all have all the treasures of wisdom. But that this delusion does confuse us. And in that state, we all, and in our countless past, we've all done it. Certainly it's in this world and we're all part of one another. Killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, and on and on. That we're obstructed and hindered in our ability to become well-seasoned in the cultivation of the way. Now, having met the perfect spiritual mantra of great compassion, we can now follow the guidelines of blameless living and quickly dissolve transgressions. And then we dedicate this to all this beautiful, to Mother Earth, and all the beings that are being harmed on our earth. Ecosystems and the peoples decimated through wars and the enslavement and the oppression and coveting of land. Taking that into our ceremony for the sake of everyone. Resolving to bring forth this heart and mind of awakening for all, and dedicating this blessing. So that's a lot. I wanted to go through it and let the words just convey your heart. You can change some words if you need to. But this Master Hua taught us, and it sounds crazy. He said, when you do this sincerely, it will affect for miles around you. Because you're doing something so blamelessly wholesome. These practices at Dharmagiri, we were there through times of a lot of violence in our region, in KwaZulu-Natal. Just after the liberation, there still was a lot of violence going on. We would do the ceremony and the feeling in the land afterwards for hours. It's my deep conviction there really is a response, and that's why we encourage you to try it. It's been really helpful to us, and we're going to do this for really the welfare of all of us, our communities, our country, our world. So you're very welcome to join us. And so after the break, we'll meet back. Our schedule, you will have seen, is a little different. So when the next session starts, here it's 2:30. I don't know what time it will be where you are. But the first, say, 25 minutes will just be a meditation, composing ourselves before the ceremony. Reflect some on what we want to bring into the ceremony. Then we'll have like a 5-minute stretch break. And then at The ceremony will start at the top of the hour. The ceremony takes an hour and 15 minutes, so we have 5 minutes to stretch before the ceremony. We will, while we're doing the ceremony, you'll be able to hear the sound and you'll see us bowing, making at a certain point, you'll see where we make an offering. Point on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, on page 7, halfway down page 7, where we make an offering to the shrine. That's when we make our little offering, and you can also offer something to wherever little sacred space is. Then after the ceremony is over, we will just sit quietly. Feel the beautiful, to me, the blessed feeling of having used our body, our speech, our awareness in a blameless way just to honor the good, to reflect on the Dharma, to sense what's obstructing us and others, and to resolve on our direction in life for the welfare of the whole. Beautiful. So thank you. Let's take, for those who wish, just to stretch for a few minutes, and then for those who won't, we'll just have the last 25 minutes or so in silence before our break time, just to savor the silence and the suchness of things, listening at ease to the sounds of the world. coming to the ending of our practice for this session, reflecting on that which nourishes us. Each breath is a gift. What the trees breathe out, we breathe in. What we breathe out, the trees breathe in. Grateful for any food that we're about to receive. It carries the energy of the earth, the wind, the rain, the sun, those who prepared it, cultivated it, prepared it. Grateful for this nourishment. Wonderful teachings of the awakened ones that bless us. Blessing of our families, loved ones, virtuous beings in our Sangha who encourage us, remind us of the power of goodness. May the blessings of our lives, with the ease of each out-breath, be shared with each other, with all living beings. In carrying this prayer by invoking the name of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, giving everything to the one who listens at ease to the sounds of the world, allowing that blessing of kindness and compassion to in our relaxing shine above, below, and all around. Blessings, everyone. Have a nice meal break, and we'll see you later for the ceremony.